Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Tuesday, March 27, 2018. The time is 9:13 a.m. If you're joining us off-net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, the State Capitol, Room 532, Senate Finance. And for anyone who's interested, if you're a snowboarder or skier, it's snowing profusely right now as 4 inches are on the ground, and I'm sure skiers around the Juneau-Douglas area are intrigued that they might get to go down a few nice slopes. I do want to note that we will be taking up Senate Bill 86. There was a bit of some confusion last night. Nothing has changed in the CS that has been distributed. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I do also want to reiterate to the general public that the Senate is not in possession of HB 286. It's the legislature's operating budget for next fiscal year. So the public hearing has been canceled for Tuesday, and now I'd like to cancel Wednesday's. We are not in possession of that bill yet, and so it's difficult to process anything until we have a bit of time to review it. Senator Hoffman, did you have any comments on HB 286, the operating budget?
We're hopeful to get it as soon as possible. We know the difficulties that the other body is going through, but we know that they will come through.
They will. They're doing their due diligence as we speak. I'd like to welcome committee members, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
We're at a full complement today. The first item on today's agenda is SB 154. A brief history on this item. We heard the bill on February 20th, 2018. The public hearing was open and closed. We did have several members of the public speak. We reviewed the fiscal notes, but we do have one new fiscal note. We'll cover that in just a little bit. What I'd like to do is invite Gary Zepp and Senator Wilson to the microphone. Senator Bishop may have a motion on the CS.
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 154, version 30-LS0081, backslash Oscar, before the committee is our working document.
I'll object for purposes of understanding the CS. Mr. Zepp, as I understand it, you'll walk us through the changes.
Sure. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Senate Bill 154. I'm sorry. Yeah, my name is Gary Zepp, for the record, staff to Senator David Wilson. My apologies. The difference is we have a new CS in front of us, and it basically changes a new course here. The previous version D, we were going to use the Alaska Community Foundation's Pick, Click, and Give program to set up a mechanism to allow Alaskans to donate their PFDs to the state general fund. And in the course of our journey with Senate Bill 154, we've modified the bill now in front of you, version O. And this bill affects a different section of statutes. It's AS 43-23015, which is the application and proof of eligibility. So we had a new section that will be inserted, and this will be section K. And it's a one-section bill. It directs the Permanent Fund Dividend Division to modify the electronic PFD web page to allow Alaskans to donate their permanent fund dividends to the state general fund. It allows contributions of $25 or more and increments of $25 up to the total amount of the PFD that the applicant is eligible to receive. It clarifies that all PFDs donated by Alaskans are subjected to a 7% administrative fee paid to the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. And it structures the contributions to the state general fund to appear in the following priority order: garnishments, University of Alaska College savings, the pick, click, and give contributions, and then the state general fund. And just as a note, AS 43-23062E states that the department may not use money from the dividend fund for administrative costs incurred in implementing this section, even if it has been appropriated for the cost of administering the dividend program. So we've created a easy mechanism for Alaskans to donate their permanent fund dividends, partially or fully, to the state general fund. And that's pretty much the summary of the changes.
Are there questions from committee members? I'll withdraw my objection. Are there further objections to adopting the CS for Senate Bill 154, Finance, backslash O? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill 154, Finance, backslash O is before the body. Senator Wilson, would you like to provide comments on the CS?
Thank you, Madam Chair. David Wilson, Senator for District D. I think Mr. Zepp went through the sectional that gave a pretty good in-depth analysis. I think this helps accommodate some of the issues and concerns and questions we had last time before you, this committee, in February, and thus I don't think there's, if you have any other questions or committee members have questions.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Wilson, there seems to be some adamance in the not using any money for the administrative costs that are out there to implement this bill. Why is there such a passionate feeling toward that?
I think that goes into the note that you guys may discuss here shortly upon some of the issues with the program. Mm-hmm. And we do have someone here from the PFD program that may be able to answer a little bit more questions upon the administrative fees. Mm-hmm. But just trying to find a system that would work, not using pick, click, give, but also not trying to overburden the user in terms of the fees schedule. Is that the question? I just want to make sure I threw the chair. Sorry.
Well, that's kind of the question, Madam Chair. It has to do with the next question I really want to ask. Are you in favor of that change that was done at the last minute to a bill that you originally penned and then signed off on?
I am.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Wilson.
Sorry. Senator, through the chair, Senator Olson, I do believe I'm okay. I am okay with that change. It doesn't really change the intent of the bill, which would allow users an easier access to be able to donate their permanent fund to the state general fund.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I'd like to open the public hearing. We did reach out to those who had testified before, tried to reach out to them to tell them this bill would be back before us. The public hearing is open on the CS for Senate Bill 154, Finance. Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill 154? Anyone online, off-net? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Bishop, could you cover the fiscal note for us?
Madam Chair, thank you. Department of Revenue, Appropriation, Taxation, and Treasury, Permanent Fund Division, OMB, Component Number 981. The fiscal impact with indeterminate revenue out years, 9.6. With indeterminate revenue, the analysis will be required on the PFD application as a new section will be created. This will be the third option, along with the UA College Savings Program and the Pick Click Give. In addition, the application programming and modifications will be necessary in the division's database to update the deduction priority order. Both the general fund and the 7% breakdown will need to be added to the division's monthly payment reports that generate from the financial transactions will increase. The division will be in a primary contact for all questions, concerns related to this new option. The revenue that will be generated from individuals that choose to contribute all or a portion of their dividend to the general fund through this program is indeterminate. Using pick, click, give as an example, annual contributions range anywhere from $25 to $123,000. At this time, the estimated number of individuals that will contribute to the general fund are in the lower end of the range, but precisely predicting where the GF will fall out is unknown. So,
are there questions on the fiscal now? Ms. Race, could you approach the microphone?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sarah Race, and I'm the Permanent Fund Dividend Division Director.
Ms. Race, Senator Olson was asking about the administrative fee. It is covered partially in the backup documents. Could you put that on the record for the people of Alaska?
Madam Chair, I believe the question had to do with the fact of why funds from the permanent fund weren't going to be used to support this program. And although I wasn't there when it was initially implemented, I believe the intent was that the primary mission of the permanent fund is to administer dividends, and this is a bit of a subset from that primary mission, whether it be the Picklet Gift Program or a program such as this.
Senator Machicki.
Ms. Race, you just said that the primary purpose was to administer dividends. The primary purpose of the permanent fund was to administer dividends. Could you restate that, please?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, the primary mission of the permanent fund dividend division is to determine eligibility and administer dividends.
Thank you.
Senator Olson, did you have a follow-up on the administrative burden?
Well, first of all, Madam Chair, let me comment on the Senator Machicki's comment, and I'm glad she set that up, because initially I thought you said that the permanent fund's primary purpose was to ensure that we had a dividend, which some people in mind that may be true. But the question has to do is, we all know that the permanent fund dividend has a large administrative force that's there to do things. And when you start putting things on like the pick, click, give component to it, there are going to be costs to that. You say that there's enough reserve within the administration of the permanent fund dividend division that they can just absorb it without any increased cost?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe that is why the 7%. So if we're talking about the Picklet Gift Program, the Picklet Gift Program has two fees. Sure. They have a $250 fee to participate in the program, and then once contributions are made from individuals' dividends, 7% is collected. In this particular bill, it would be a 7% that would be collected from contributions.
No further questions, Madam Chair. That answers a lot of questions.
Thank you. Senators, we do have some students that are watching us today, and so I would just point out that the bill that during past budgeting conversations, multiple people called in both bodies and made statements that they would donate their permanent funds to government, but they didn't really have that option. And so the bill proposed by Senator Wilson said if there are people that want to donate their permanent funds to state government, that they should be able to do so if they chose. And the original bill that was before us had that happening through the Pick, Click, and Give program. And the CS that we've adopted has that through a separate process of the division of permanent fund dividends, but pays for it separate than from the dividend fund. I hope that makes sense. Senators, any comments for Senator Machicki?
Well, and just to further complicate the issue, we realize that if you just didn't accept a dividend, it wasn't the same as the contribution, because that just went into the fund that got divided by the remaining folks that wanted their entire check. So it actually provides a system through this bill where they can contribute and they would have a record of that contribution, and it would actually go into the permanent into the general fund as opposed to going back into the permanent fund fund.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. And again, to highlight for those at home, please check with your accountant as you do this, because the money is still income to you, but also from our research should be a deduction on your federal taxes as well. Governments are not considered nonprofits, but they are included in the Federal Internal Revenue Service Code. So this is trying to provide Alaskans an opportunity to donate their permanent funds should they choose to provide services to other Alaskans. Is there any further comments on the bill? Senator Bishop.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. we're back on the record. Our students have gone, and so they don't get to see good government in process, and that is that sometimes things are more complicated than they might appear. There has been brief dialogue because this committee sees multiple bills that another bill that we had before us, which isn't relevant for this discussion, but a concept in it is the issue and notion of whether a parent should be able to donate under this bill's parameter their child's permanent fund dividend to government, or should that be a protection that the Senate Finance Committee considers as we move this bill forward. We had discussed that concept in a different conversation, so I'd like to hear from committee members. We can amend this bill, but I want committee members, since it was brought to my attention, to make sure that we had this discussion on the record so that we are informed in advancing this. Senator Wilson, would you like to join us at the microphone? And just as far as that concept goes, I know that you were in the room, or I believe you were in the room, when we had that issue discussed on a different subject. Senator Wilson.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Wilson, Senator for District D. Madam Chair, this bill concept, it doesn't change the guardianship rights of a parent, parental figures or guardians with their rights to their children's permanent fund dividends. There's already a statute in section 47.10.115 for permanent fund dividend that the department, that basically the children that are in OCS custody or in guardianship of the state of Alaska, that their PFDs will go into a trust to allow that protection for those children who may not have guardians or at that time. And so with that, Madam Chair, I'm open to questions.
Discussion from committee members on the issue of parents' ability to donate their child's dividend to state government. Senator Machicki.
Well, I'm having a hard time finding a difference, considering a parent with the current structure can do almost anything that they choose to do with their child's dividend. Some of it is very honorable and goes into savings or family expenses, some perhaps less honorable, but I'm not sure how this changes the parent's right to manage their child or the guardian's right to manage their child's dividend.
Other comments from committee members? Senator Von Imhoff.
I think to echo Senator Machicki's comments, at this point, when the check is sent to the household or if it's direct deposited into an account, it is the absolute control of the family to do whatever the money is that they wish. I can see the, on one hand, to, I guess, the age is 18 or over and putting in a provision. How do we control that, I guess, or does that change the other freedoms that Senator Machicki mentioned just now? I mean, does that have consequences?
I would, discussing along the same lines, if a parent is in a higher income bracket and can provide for themselves, they may want to have the additional write-off for reasons that are personal decisions versus reasons of child protection. So I think the reason the issue got raised to me as the chairman was that what if a parent, what if the child wanted to retain those assets but doesn't have that voice? And as Senator Machicki and Senator Von Imhoff have stated on the record, parents make those decisions every day. But I wanted to make sure that we had that discussion before we move this bill out. Ms. Race, can you offer any additional perspective for consideration of the committee before we take up this bill?
Madam Chair, for the record, again, Sarah Race, Permanent Fund Dividend Division Director. And as Senator Wilson stated, we currently allow parents to determine where their children's dividends go, whether that be a direct deposit, whether that be a pick-click-give option, or the UA College Savings Program, which is a little bit different.
Thank you. Senator Bishop, are we ready to move the bill? Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 154, version 30-LS0081, backslash Oscar from committee with the accompanying fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill 154 Finance, backslash O, an act relating to contributions from the permanent fund dividend to the general fund, advances from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual committee recommendations. Thank you, Senator Wilson. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. I'd like to direct the committee's attention to SB 86, an act relating to the sale or disposal, leasing or encumbrance of Alaska Railroad Corporation land and providing for an effective date. The Senate Finance Committee heard the bill on March 5th, 2018. The public hearing was open and closed. Multiple people testified. We reviewed the fiscal note, and we have a CS Senator Bishop, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 86, version 30-LS0487, /uniform, before the committee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of understanding the CS. Ms. Lucky, if you place your name on the record, and then please proceed with outlining the CS before us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The Senate Finance Committee brought up quite a few concerns when this bill was currently heard, and the CS was drafted to address those concerns. The first change you will find is on pages 1 and 2, the addition of sections 1 and 2, and this relates to the retention of subsurface rights. It is just adding these types of land disposals to our existing law where the state retains the subsurface rights for various other land disposals. As the committee will recall, there is a 3-year sunset, and that's why there are two sections. The first section would put this section into law for the 3 years that the railroad does not need to have legislative approval, and then section 2 would be removing that section from law once that 3-year period is over. The next change we'll find on page 8, and we rewrote the current section 14 to codify some more specificity in the requirements prior to disposing of land and also put in a few sidebars on the public notice process. So what you will find is the finding that the land is not necessary for railroad purposes and is in the best interest of the state, which is in current state law, is now re-entered into the section of law that will be in place for the 3 years that legislative approval is not needed. You will also find a minimum public notice requirement of 60 days, which is on line 14, and a requirement that adjacent landowners are notified in addition to any other public notice process, and that would be on lines 18 and 19 of page 8. Another change that was discussed in committee but had not been entered into the bill at the time that it was first presented is a limit of 90 days for the exercise of the right of first refusal. There is also a sentence added to that section that specifies that the right of first refusal is extinguished if rejected by the leaseholder in writing, and that would give the railroad an opportunity. If all of the leaseholders did not want to exercise that right, they would not have to hold it over for 90 days as long as there was writing from all of the leaseholders that they were not going to exercise that right. Changes are on page 9 and 10 of the bill, and these are actually added. Sections 17 and 18 are technical changes that were accidentally omitted out of the first bill by legislative legal, so those are technical drafting errors that are corrected in this version. And again, 17 would be putting the information or the section into the bill, and then 18 is taking the language out of the bill after the 3-year period is over. And the last change that was made on behalf of the committee is the inclusion of sections 19 through 22, starting on page 10 of the bill. And there was some discussion about outstanding bond authority that the railroad had been granted over a period of a number of years. A lot of the bond authority might have had sunsets, but there were three bonds that were found, bonding authority that was found that was not needed by the railroad, and we confirmed the railroad did not need them, and they are sunset in this bill at this time. And that would be found on sections 19, 20, 21, and 22 of the bill. And that concludes the changes to the bill, other than some technical clarifications that need to be made to include these items.
Are there questions on the structure of the CS? I'll remove my objection. Is there objection to adoption of the CS for Senate Bill 86, Finance, /U? Seeing and hearing none, the CS is adopted and before the body. I'd like to invite Reneva Moss to the microphone while she's coming, brief at ease. We're back on the record. Ms. Moss, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill.
Ms. Moss, we've been working closely with the sponsor. Do you have any comments on the CS for our consideration?
Madam Chair, You, myself, and Senator Coghill sat down this morning and discussed this, and we're fine with it moving out of the committee as is.
Thank you. Ms. Moss, did you contact the railroad this morning so that they knew that we were introducing this? Yes.
Madam Chair, yes, I did. I contacted Tim Sullivan.
Thank you very much. I'd like to open the public hearing on the CS for Senate Bill 86, Finance / U. Is there anyone here in Juneau, off-net, or online wishing to comment on the CS? I'll close the public hearing. Committee members, any comments on the bill before us? Senator Bishop, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 86, version 30-LS0487, / uniform for committee with the accompanying fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill number 86, Finance, /U, moves from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to, we did review the fiscal note. It's zero, and it's still zero, so just for the public's information.
Thank you, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. For those that you might be following us at home, we were having a brief discussion on tomorrow morning's and afternoon's meeting. Because we had thought we would receive the House's version of the operating budget, We have two meetings scheduled for tomorrow. At this time, I'd like to cancel the Wednesday afternoon meeting. I will see if there is anything in the committee that we can prepare for your consideration for tomorrow morning. I just ask committee members to stand by. On tomorrow's agenda, we'll hear SB 192, addressing addresses and confidentiality, Senate Bill 192. And on Thursday, we have SB 122, OCS Citizen Review Panel scheduled at this time. We will keep everyone informed as we go forward. Again, we have a hole in our agenda just because we had placed public comment on for the agenda. Is that good? With that, we're adjourned.